First of all, I would like to congratulate the Reverend Elliot on his 40 years ministry in Bethany. 40 years preaching the gospel in itself is a great milestone, but to minister in the same church for 40 years is something quite unique. Therefore, it's a great privilege for me to be here tonight to take part in this special week of meetings celebrating the Reverend Elliot's 40th anniversary as the minister of Bethany Free Presbyterian Church. It was, of course, through the Reverend Elliot's ministry that I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Saviour. So I personally, under God, owe him a great debt. As we're going to find out tonight, God uses men to bring souls to himself. And on the 13th of September 1976, in the Brownstown Tent Mission, God used the preaching of a then young Ken Elliott to draw me to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, of course, is a night that I will never forget, because that was the night when the Lord took me from darkness and brought me into the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. I can remember everything about that night if it was just yesterday. I can remember going to the meeting. I can remember getting out of the minibus and going into the tent. I can remember the singing. And I can remember coming under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I can remember at the end of the meeting coming forward and kneeling at the pew and receiving Christ as my Saviour. Of course, the Reverend Elliot is more than a preacher. When I was a member of this church, he was a faithful pastor to me. He always sought to encourage me in the work of God. And again, it was mainly through his preaching that I eventually felt the call of God into full-time service. And of course, that was another step that I never regretted. The greatest privilege is to be saved. But after salvation, the greatest privilege is to serve the Lord. And the Lord, of course, over these past number of years, has given me that privilege. And I pray that in the days that lie ahead, that the Lord will give me strength to continue to serve him. But as a pastor, the Reverend Elliot was a man that I always found to be patient, trustworthy, compassionate, and zealous for the souls of the lost. And I don't believe that he has lost any of those qualities. Of course, they always say that behind every good man, there's a great woman. And I know that Mrs. Elliot, who has suffered greatly over the years because of sickness, has always supported her husband 100%. And I would like to pay a tribute to Mrs. Elliot tonight as well. Living with a minister is not always easy. And of course, I believe she has sacrificed much down through the years. Personally, I've always found Mrs. Elliot a very gracious woman. And I pray in the days that lie ahead that the Lord will bless you, Mr. Elliot, and your dear wife, as you continue to serve the Lord in this house. And I pray that the Lord will indeed give you many more precious souls for your labours, and that the Lord will bless you richly. When I was asked to preach at this week of meetings, the Lord drew my attention to Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, this text of scripture that we have read this evening. So very simply tonight, as we look at this text, I want to throw out a challenge to everyone that's gathered here this evening. And the challenge is this: what are we doing in this 21st century to win souls for Christ? You know, child of God, times may have changed, but our duty and our responsibility has not changed. And the Bible tells us that he that winneth souls is wise. Of course, the Apostle Paul was the great soul winner. Look at what Paul said in Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And of course, Paul's whole life after his conversion was to win men to Christ. It was to point men to the Saviour. Of course, Paul's great motivation to win souls was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." In other words, the love of Christ to us ought to constrain us, it ought to compel us to win the lost for the Saviour. Therefore, as we consider this challenge to our hearts tonight, I want you to notice a number of things from this text of Scripture in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. And I pray that the Lord tonight will take his word and write it upon our hearts and upon our souls. Child of God, we have only one life. It'll soon be passed. And only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. What do we learn here? What is the challenge? Well, first of all, I want you to notice in these verses that the lost need to hear. Take a look at what it says there in verse 14 and underline the words. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?" The fact is this, that right across this world tonight, the lost are dying in sin. In Thailand, in China, in India, in Africa, in mainland Europe, tens of thousands, yea, hundreds of thousands of precious souls are dying every day and going out into a lost eternity without once ever hearing the message of the gospel. Indeed, every second that passes, someone dies without hearing their need of salvation. And while many of these people will have heard about religion, none of them will have heard the message of saving grace. Now, that's a very solemn thought, isn't it? But that is the truth. You see, men and women in this world of ours, every second that goes by are dying and being lost forever. You see, men and women, it is not religion that the lost need. It is the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the gospel of Christ can save the lost from hell. What is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ which saves the sinner from hell? Well, I'm sure that there's no one here that couldn't give me the answer to that question. But keep your hand in Romans chapter 10 for a moment and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because in this portion of Scripture, I believe we have the greatest definition in the Bible of what the gospel of Christ is. Because in verse 3 and 4, we read these words of 1 Corinthians 15, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Here is the gospel, and the only gospel that can save the lost. No other message will do the lost any good. And even if that message is slightly different from the gospel that is presented here in God's Word. You see, we read over there, and I'm sure that you will remember what the Apostle Paul said in Galatians and in the chapter 1. When he was writing to the saints of Galatia, he wrote these words. And what tremendous words they are. In verses 6 to 9, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." You see, Paul condemned all those who added anything to this pure gospel or who took away anything from this pure gospel. Men and women, that is why we must condemn the cults. We must condemn false religion and popery, because they add or they take away from the true gospel of Christ. They're preaching a message that will not save the lost. And that's why it is so important, even in this 21st century, that we preach Christ and Christ alone. Because it's only the message of the gospel that is contained in the Word of God that will save the lost. And this is the message that they need to hear. Take a look there again at our text in Romans 10 and verse 14. And you will notice that saving faith in Christ is what men need to hear. Our text says, how shall they believe in Him? Notice their faith must be in Him, not in a church, not in good works, not in Mary, not in a religion, but their faith must be in Christ and in Christ alone. We often sing that hymn, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And of course, this is the message, and the only message, that the lost need to hear. We're living in a day when many would seek to water down the message of the gospel. Of course, as we have found out, that's nothing new. Even in the days of the Apostle Paul, they were seeking to turn the message of the gospel, and many were seeking to add to the true gospel. Old General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, once said that the time would come when preachers would preach salvation without repentance, they would preach heaven without hell, and they would preach redemption without the blood. And of course, that day has come and gone many, many times. Oh, I pray tonight, even as we look again at this text of Scripture, and I'm sure it's a text that you have read many times before, but I pray that the Lord will challenge our hearts with this truth, this simple truth. The lost need to hear. And the lost need to hear the message that is contained in this book. And the message that is contained in this book is Christ and Him crucified. We preach a crucified Christ, and we preach a resurrected Christ, and we preach a Christ that has ascended back up into heaven, and we preach a Christ that someday is coming again. What a glorious day that will be when the clouds are burst asunder and the Son of God comes down again to this earth. The lost need to hear. But take a look at the text again in Romans chapter 10, and you'll notice something else. You'll notice, secondly, that the saved need to tell. It says at the end of verse 14, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Underline those words. The lost of this world cannot be saved unless someone brings them the message of the gospel. The lost need a preacher. Someone to tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Now, we're all familiar with Mark chapter 16, verse 15. The Great Commission. The Lord Jesus Christ gives the command to His disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And of course, the Lord Jesus spoke those words, as I have said, to His disciples, to His saints. And of course, the Lord Jesus emphasized the importance of going into all the world. And of course, Portadown is a part of the world, and Enniskillen is a part of the world. So we have the responsibility, you and I, who are saved, we have the responsibility of bringing the message of the gospel to the lost. That is our purpose. That is the aim of the church. At least it ought to be the aim of the church. But God has ordained, you see, that through the means of preaching, that the lost are saved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, I'm sure that you're aware that there are two types of preaching. Turn over, keep your hand in Romans chapter 10, and turn back to Acts chapter 8 for a moment, and you'll see this. In Acts chapter 8, we have Saul of Tarsus making havoc of the church, and great persecution has come to the church of Jerusalem, and because of this great persecution, the saints of God are scattered abroad. You will notice what happens when the saints are scattered abroad in verse 4. It says, they went everywhere preaching the word. Now, that was the ordinary members of the congregation. And as they went everywhere, they told others of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word preaching there, it means to tell good news. It means to gossip the gospel. It means to go to someone individually and tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. It would be like you leaving the meeting tonight and going down to the garage and meeting someone in the garage that you knew and start a conversation with them. And before you left them, you would tell them about the Lord Jesus. You would tell them how he died for them and how he wants to save them and how he loves them. That's what the word means there. That word preach in verse 4. Therefore, it is emphasizing to us the duty of every Christian. It is emphasizing the responsibility of every child of God. And it's important that you see that. Maybe you need to see it again. But it's important that as the Lord reveals his truth to us tonight, that we learn that. Men and women, the saved need to tell. The saved need to tell. And you and I have a great responsibility as individual Christians, those that we work with day by day. Let me challenge you tonight. Have you gone with the gospel to your friends lately, to your neighbors lately, to your family, to your workmates? Are you gossiping the gospel day by day to all those around you? Now, in verse 5, we see the second type of preaching. It says in verse 5 of Acts chapter 10, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. The word preach there in that verse means to cry aloud or to proclaim or to hurl forth, like I'm doing now. Like the Reverend Elliot does every Sabbath day, gets up in the pulpit and hurls forth the message of the gospel. We're going to find out that not all men are called to this office. Just in a moment, we're going to say more about that. But I want you to see the difference. And it's a simple difference. Sometimes when we talk about preaching, we say, well, that's the job and the responsibility of the preacher, and that's the responsibility of the missionary. Well, if it's the type of preaching in verse 5, we can say, yes, that's the case. But the Lord is speaking to us all in verse 4. It's important that we see that. You, therefore, are a preacher. You're a preacher. You're a missionary in that sense. Gossiping the gospel of Christ. In Luke 14 verse 23 we read these words. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. I was just thinking today about the time when I was first saved in Bethany. One of the highlights of the week for me was going out in the outreach team. And I have special memories of those days. And we met in the prayer room behind the church. And there was about up on 60 people, if my memory serves me right. And we used to go out every week, two by two. And, you know, we used to have great results. And we used to see people coming into the church through that visitation. And of course we were enthusiastic. And we were encouraged. And every time you went out and knocked the doors, you always got good contacts. And that encouraged you to go on serving the Lord in that way. And in one respect, it was easy to serve the Lord 30 years ago, and maybe a few years more, because you were greatly encouraged. But it's not so easy today. Because when you go out and knock doors, you're probably more likely to get them shut in your face. And the response is not just so encouraging. And because the response is not encouraging, it puts you off. Discouragement will stop you from telling others of Jesus, the mighty to save. Discouragement will stop you from going and seeking to invite others in under the sound of the gospel. But child of God, it should not. Because just because times have changed, and just because we're living in days of spiritual detention, does not mean that we neglect our responsibility of telling the lost of their need of Jesus Christ. Never forget that. And if you're discouraged tonight, don't be discouraged. Don't allow the devil to discourage you so much that you stop seeking to win the lost for the Savior. Because that's what the devil wants to do. That's what Satan wants to do in your life, your Christian life, and my Christian life. He wants to cow us. But we should not be cowed. Because whether men will hear or whether men will not hear, you and I have the responsibility of preaching Christ and Him crucified. Our duty remains the same. Oh, this is the challenge. It's easy to serve the Lord when everything's going well. It's easy to preach when souls are being saved every week. And the Lord has blessed us, and we have seen many saved. And in those days, it was easy to get up into the pulpit. It was easy to open the Word of God. But then when the tide goes out, and Dr. Paisley always talks about the tide going out, and the tide is certainly out today. It's that far out that you can't even see it. But the tide can come in again. And the truth is this, child of God, if you're not sowing, you'll not be reaping. If you stop sowing, you'll stop reaping. And that's why we need to keep on sowing. That's why we need to keep on preaching. That's why we need to keep on seeking to witness for Christ and give a word in season. And you know, even if it's only giving out a gospel tract or giving out a DVD of the services here. A couple of years ago, down in our own church, there was a lady who was burdened about her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law wasn't saved, and she was a woman of over 90 years of age. And she decided that she would give her a DVD of the service in Bethel every week. So she would get the DVD and bring it home to her mother-in-law, and she would put it on, and she would sit with her as she listened to the service. And that went on for 2 years, every week. And I used to go and visit this lady. She wasn't a member of our church, but I would go and visit her from time to time. And just last year, I went to visit her, and I spoke to her about the Lord again, as I always did, and read the scriptures. And I said, Mrs. Edwards, would you not like to get saved? And you know, she broke down and she said, Mr. Gray, I would love to get saved. I want to get saved today. And we had the joy of leading her to the Lord. All because her daughter-in-law was burdened about her soul. And all because she brought her a DVD and put it in. She didn't even have to preach to the woman. The DVD did all the work. But something simple. Child of God, there's no knowing how God will use us if we're willing to be used. Oh, listen, the lost need to hear. And they need to hear the pure gospel of Christ. Not watered down in any way. But the saved need to tell. And if we have stopped telling, let us pray that God will give us that burden again. And I preach that to my own heart as well. For we all can get discouraged in the work of God. But I want to encourage you tonight to keep going on. Because our lives are not over as yet. And God is not finished with our church yet. I don't believe that for one minute. And God is not finished with you and I. And thank God, if we sow, we will reap if we faint not. Now, there's something else I want you to notice. Look at the text again in Romans and the chapter 10. And you will notice verse 15. And you will notice this. Not only do the lost need to hear, not only do the saved need to tell, but the sent need to go. Verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of good things. Now, while it is the responsibility of all Christians to spread the message of the gospel, gossip the gospel, while it is the duty of every church member to tell the lost of Christ and of his wonderful salvation, let me say this. God calls specific individuals from the body of his church to go forth into full-time service to bring the message of the gospel. Not all within the church are called and sent in this way. Now again, keep your hand in Romans chapter 10 and just turn over for a moment to 1 Corinthians and the chapter 12. Take a look there at verse 28 and you'll read these words. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? And of course the answer to those questions is no. So, while every member of the church has a job to do, the important thing is not what we do for Christ, but finding out what and where the Lord would want us to serve him. In Acts chapter 13, we're not going to turn to it, but Paul and Barnabas were set apart and they were thrust forward by the Holy Ghost. They were sent by God to do a specific task. They, of course, went and they were missionaries and they were preachers. But they were sent forth to do a specific work for God. That specific work was to bring the gospel to a specific place. They were sent men. Time just doesn't allow us tonight, but God sent Moses. Exodus 3 verse 10. God sent Gideon. Judges 6 verse 14. God sent Elisha. 1 Kings 19, 19. God sent Isaiah. Isaiah 6 verse 8. God sent Paul. Acts 13. God sent Philip. Acts 8. We've already noticed that. And indeed the apostle Paul said, "For Christ sent me to preach the gospel." I wonder, is there someone here tonight and the Lord has been challenging you, maybe a young person, maybe an older person, to go into full-time service? Maybe over these past number of weeks, months, perhaps even this past year, the Lord has been dealing with you as an individual and burdening you to be a preacher or to be a missionary or to be an evangelist. Let me say this evening. The sent need to go. How shall they hear without a preacher? I pray if the Lord is setting his hand upon you tonight in this way that you will not be disobedient to the heavenly vision. Moses, when he was sent, he obeyed. Gideon, when he was sent, he obeyed. Elisha, Isaiah, Paul and Philip, when they were sent, they all obeyed. And the great truth is this, that when you study the lives of those individuals, God used them in a most unique and wonderful way. Don't live in God's second best, young person. Don't live in God's second best. I believe there are many Christians who are living in God's second best because after hearing the call of God in their lives, they have refused to go at the command of Christ. I said just a moment ago that I never regretted stepping out for Christ, serving Him. Never regretted that. I have many regrets. I could have served the Lord better. I could have done more to win souls for the Lord. But I never regret going into full-time service. What a privilege, what an honor to be a preacher of the gospel. And I certainly do not take that privilege for granted. I thank the Lord every day for His mercy and His grace in that He would reach down and choose me to be a proclaimer of His precious, precious truth. And I thank God for the day when the Lord called Ken Elliott to be the minister of this church. And I thank God that he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but that he obeyed. And because he obeyed, that night in the Brownstown mission, the Lord used him to speak to me and to speak to many others. Not only that night, but over these past 40 years. But there seems to be few that are being sent today. Or is it the case that God is seeking to send, but they're not willing to go? Child of God, we need to learn four things tonight. The harvest is great. The laborers are few. We need to pray that God will send more laborers into the harvest fields of this world. And we need to realize that time is short. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. I pray that even in these days in which we live, that the Lord will call young men and young women into full-time service, and that when He calls, that they will be obedient to the call of God. There's a lovely hymn that our sister Mrs. Elliott used to sing. I'm sure she still sings it. But she was the first person that I ever heard sing it. And in my opinion, she was the best at singing it. So little time, the harvest will be over. Our reaping done, we reapers taken home. Report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest, and hope He'll smile and say, well done. The harvest white, with reapers few, is wasting. And many souls will die and never know the love of Christ, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, let us weep and love and pray and go. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear one from the burning. Today we'll go to bring some sinner in. I wonder, will we? Oh, here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. Romans 10, verse 14 and 15. The lost need to hear. The saved need to tell. The sent need to go. May God give us all the grace in these days to carry out our responsibility and duty as the soldiers of the cross. Amen.